Morning.
You all right? How are you this morning? Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, fighting fit, hopefully. I'm joined, as always, by my producer, Little Harry. How are you, sir?
Morning.
It is now 1 minute past eight in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Thursday, the 5th of February, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You are watching The Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo, Bo's Breakfast Club, The Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club. And you are the glorious band, the chosen few, who have made the wise, the prudent decision to watch The Bo Show. It's the best morning show, blatantly. It's not even close, right? What are you doing? Watch Mike Graham? All right, let's jump straight into news. What's going on in the world, the world, the world, the world? This morning, what is the corporate mainstream media telling you to care about this morning? The cabal of evil editors, self-appointed arbiters of truth. What lies by omissions and half-truths and spin are they trying to ram down your throat this morning? Let's have a look. All right. On the papers, the print media, Fleet Street, say, U-turn on Mandelson files and Starmer in grave peril. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so it's more wall-to-wall fallout of Epstein stuff. Mandy and Starmer. Well, it was mainly Mandy and Andy yesterday. It's Mandy and Starmer this morning. There's still stuff about Andrew, but it's all the same thing, same news cycle. I mean, it could be, well, it is terribly damaging to Starmer and his government, but will it really spell the end for his government anytime soon? I don't know. We've put a poll up to that effect. So if you're in the chat, get involved in that. Why not? It's free, isn't it? All right, let's have a look at the papers. The Independent. They've just go with furious PM's full Starmer into U-turn on Mandelson files. Shaken PM abandons plan to withhold some documents detailing disgraced peers' appointment on, quote, national security, quote, grounds after angry revolt in Commons led by his own ex-deputy, one Ms. Angela Rayner. Okay, so yesterday was PMQs, Prime Minister's Questions, and it was a doozy. It was a doozy. Of course, they always, Kemi putting loads of pressure on him, always, whatever the thing is that week. But she did quite a good job because he was rattled. He seemed sort of visibly rattled. I don't usually go in for that sort of thing all that much, like, oh, his hand was shaking a bit or something. Don't usually go in for that. But he did seem, in my opinion anyway, he did seem like quite rattled by it all. So, she and everyone really is asking for him to release the information. You know, what did the Prime Minister know and when? Exactly how did the whole process go to get Mandelson in the Foreign Office and ambassador to the US? Who told him what exactly, in what order, when, everything? We want to know everything, sort of thing. And he said, well, first of all, he was asked a couple of times, did the intelligence services warn you? And in the end, he just stood up and said, yeah. It's not a win, is it? That's what makes it worse, doesn't it? Surely. Makes it worse for him. For the picture of his judgment. So beyond that, they say, you know, release the files. You're going to release the files. So there's everything that went on. They did a humble address, which is a very old-fashioned thing. I mean, humble addresses puts you in mind of the 17th century, puts you in mind of the Civil War. Charles I and Oliver Cromwell and all that sort of thing, a humble address. It's not used very often. And that's where, if there's enough support, the opposition can sort of force the government, basically force them to release certain documents. So Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, the head of the Tory party, they're going to do a humble address, forcing Starmer to release everything about the Epstein appointment. But then he stood up and he said, well, yes, okay, all right, we'll do it. You can't not do it. It's a humble address. But he said, oh, but, you know, sort of be warned. There may be all sorts of things not in it, redacted, on grounds of national security. You know, we can't jeopardise our relations with other countries unnecessarily. And there may be things in there which are just too sensitive. Da, 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 da. So straight after PM's cues, essentially, that all that was put through. But then as it says there, Keir Starmer was forced into a U-turn immediately, within like minutes or within an hour or two, almost straight away, in other words. He was forced into a U-turn and just to release everything. Because his own MPs, furious MPs, mainly Labour MPs, furious Labour MPs, forced Starmer, well, they're the only ones that can really force him, can't they? To U-turn on Mounds of Files, i.e. release absolutely everything. Like a full hangout. Not a limited hangout, a full hangout. That's what we want. And Starmer is really in hock to his own backbenchers, really. There's the block of Labour backbenchers that can force Starmer to change his mind on things, basically, or face or suffer a defeat, got him to do that. So, again, just another U-turn, throw it on the pile. But what it really shows is that Starmer hasn't really got full control, or certainly not really much authority over his own party. Now that's a shaky, that is a shaky position to be in as a leader. You need to be able to sort of control your own party and MPs. You're supposed to be able to. You're supposed to be able to do a three-line whip and everyone does what you want within reason. You know, realistically, it's never that, but the vast majority of your MPs, you would hope, would obey a three-line whip. You're in trouble if more than half of them, or whatever, don't. They hate you and not interested in what you want and what you and your views for government and the country. So he's in a shaky position. Whether it will lead to sort of the end of his premiership, I don't know. Maybe it's the beginning of the end, but I don't see it imminently for a few reasons. First of all, to really get rid of him, they'd have to do something like a vote of no confidence. And usually for that sort of thing to happen, it would need to be sort of worse than it is. I mean, it could snowball over the next few days or the next week or two or something. It could snowball into what I'm about to describe. But right now, as of the 5th, I'm not seeing it. Again, things could change even quite quickly. But as of right now, usually you get loads of ministers, he's like cabinet ministers, resigning sort of in protest. And then there'll be all talk of a vote of no confidence. At the moment, there's no talk of no confidence. I haven't seen anyone, Labour MPs, talking about it. It'll all have to be internal. It's all Labour MPs that would do this. It's nothing to do with, very little to do with the others. So, vote of no confidence. People aren't throwing that around at the moment. And all these ministers in cabinet, they're not resigning en masse or anything. Again, yet, as of this morning. But we'll see. Certainly his position is undermined. Things that they are saying are true. Like, we can't really trust his judgment. That's just true, isn't it? Can't really trust his judgment. It's like, it's pretty straightforward not to give Mandelson that job. That was a straightforward decision choice. It should have been an absolute no-brainer. He shouldn't even have been on any sort of shortlist, let alone actually get the job. So, okay. So this is the main story today, basically. And yeah, it says it there. Even Angela Rayner, who, if you remember, not very long ago, used to be the Deputy Prime Minister. She sort of led the charge. There's a lot of Labour MPs, to their credit. I'm loath to give them any credit. And it may even be cynical, but I suppose, to their credit, they want to know exactly what happened. They want the truth. Even if it is coming from a cynical angle from them, I'm still here for it, because I want the truth as well. The truth is nearly always the best thing. A full hangout is nearly always the best thing. Nearly always. Even just in normal people's everyday lives, let alone when you're in government. Right? I only sign off on very, very small white lies to spare someone's embarrassment. Someone says, oh, isn't my new baby cute? And it's not, it's an ugly baby. You just go, yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. Little white lies like that. Anything beyond that, it's not a good idea. It's just really not a good idea. That's my opinion. Even if it's embarrassing. Speaking of which, actually, I must say, I need a correction. I think I made a pretty bad, relatively small, but blooper yesterday. There was a picture of Sandringham, and I said, I've confused that for the Royal Lodge, which is just a cottage, a big cottage, but I just got that completely wrong. I just got it the wrong way round. As I was saying it, I was thinking, wait, am I right? Is that right? Anyway, a correction from yesterday, if anyone noticed. Sorry about that. But that's exactly the sort of thing. If you're wrong, or if you're caught in a lie, first of all, don't really lie, but if you are, admit it. Just admit it. It's not that bad. It's not that embarrassing. Like what I do, you know, making content, politics themed content and history themed content. Particularly the history themed content. Sometimes eventually, if you make hundreds and hundreds of hours of content, with the best will in the world, no matter how hard you've tried to be factually accurate, eventually you'll say something factually incorrect. Put your hands up, just accept it. Just, oh, sorry, yeah, I got that wrong. Yeah, that's a bit embarrassing for me, but well, I'll pretend I wasn't wrong. No. All right, let's move on a little bit here. What else have we got? The Metro. Ugh. Liar, liar, pants on hired. That's poor. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Fire and hired don't really even rhyme. Fire, hired, no. That's poor. Some if a pun is really good and funny and like well thought out, innovative, I'll give it some credit, but that's lame. That's super lame. Fury at PM's account of Mandelson's betrayal. Liar, liar, pants on hired. The Metro, what a disgrace. What a revolting thing, the Metro. What a stain on our nation. Have I gone too far? Said too much? The Daily Telegraph, the Tory Graph, Rayner turns on Starmer. Prime Minister's authority in doubt after Labour rebels false rapid about turn on Mandelson scandal. Yeah, I mean, that's true, isn't it? That his authority is in doubt. It just is. I've said it before a bunch of times. He's weak. Man, he's a weak politician. Only when it sort of really threatens his position does he seem to have suddenly find any sort of backbone. Like he can be ruthless about that. Suddenly he's got a ruthless streak. But on most other things, nearly every other thing, he's just super, super weak and just a weak person morally, physically. Just, yeah. He will go down in history as one of the worst, if not possibly the worst prime minister of all time. Not counting Liz Truss, because she's just sort of an anomaly, an actual historical anomaly, Liz Truss. Yeah, he'll probably go down in history as one of, if not the worst PMs in a century since Walpole. All right, MPs of the world unite! You have nothing to lose but your chains. Ugh. Yeah, all right, fair enough, but calm down a bit. Who's that guy? Tim something or other, I can't see, it's too small. Oh, he wrote something really stupid the other day. I don't know who he is, but I don't like him. All right. The Daily Mail. Punctured, perhaps beyond repair. Sir Keir deflated before our eyes. Yeah, he looked a bit shook. Kemi kept bayoneting him verbally. From Labour MPs, a cold, sinister silence. Yeah, quite often PMQs is very boisterous. That's why a lot of Americans like it, because they don't get anything like it in Congress, really. It's really quite boisterous. I am a little bit embarrassed is too strong. It's not that embarrassing. Sometimes it is funny and entertaining. But when they're all just like laughing and guffawing, and it's purely performative and it's over something serious, that annoys me. But usually it's both sides, right? It is theatre. So, like, someone on the Tory front benches come up and, like, says something, and it's a humdinger, and they all laugh and shout and roar and wave their hansards and stuff. And then the other side hit back, and all their MPs will do the same thing, and so on. Well, when your side are just sitting there in silence, it speaks volumes, doesn't it? It's like at a football game, if anyone's ever gone to a football match. When your side score a goal, it's you've got license for 30 seconds or a minute to go berserk. Just jump up and down, screaming your head off, bellowing at the top of your voice. It's license to go berserk. When the other side score, you just sit there silently. Silence. So I quite often, the away team score a goal, and the guy scored the goal goes up to the home fans and goes like, shh. Because they're all sitting there in silence. He's like, yeah, shh. Well, anyway, the Labour front benches were doing that. They were just sitting there like, yeah, I mean, it's telling. Okay, Starmer in grave peril as Rayner twists knife. I mean, it could well be, it really could well be that in the next couple of days, over the weekend, possibly, into next week, there start be rumblings about a vote of no confidence. Or if a bunch of his ministers resign, like if Wes Streeting resigns, say, and it caused a bit of a tumble effect and a few more lesser ones that aren't really in the news much, you might not even know their names, they start all resigning one after another. And then some of the more serious backbenchers, again, whose names you've probably not heard of, but actually are like the controlling people in that block, they start talking about the numbers involved in triggering a vote of no confidence. Then, okay, then we're looking at it. Then we're staring down the barrel of the Starmer government falling. That's just not happening right now. It's far from unthinkable, put it that way, far from unthinkable. I put his chances at not even 50-50 right now, as it stands right now. I would say maybe there's only sort of a or to call it the beginning of the end, though. Might be fair. That may well be fair. I'll put a statement like that at 50-50. We'll see. We'll see. He's gonna struggle in May, or if Labour lose that by-election in Manchester, then. If he loses the by-election in Manchester, people start talking about, just talking about, that's how it starts, just whispers. They start talking about a vote of no confidence. Then it's a rocky road going forward. And then in May, when, almost certainly when, they get trounced, I imagine he'll be clinging on by his fingernails at that point. All right, The Guardian. Right, The Guardian. It's over for Starmer, say Labour MPs amid fury over Mandelson. I mean, I think some people are going a bit too far. Like, I was watching stuff yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening, a few different commentators, a few different voices. They just said, it's over. It's over. Starmer's done. It's all over. It's done. Well, calm down. Not quite yet. Not quite yet. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I hope he is. I hate the guy, obviously. Everyone who watches the Bo show knows. I despise the Labour government. But not at this juncture. We'll see. We shall see. It does hang in the balance, though. It's difficult not to say that. In some senses, it hangs in the balance. Definitely true to say his authority is heavily undermined. Okay. Number 10, to release papers on Peer's appointment as ambassador to the US. Okay. Oh, yeah. Israel bulldozes allied war graves in Palestine. Great. Cheers. Oh, well, thanks for that. The story just says, yeah, that's some aerial photographs. There's an Allied war grave with British, Australian, and Australian bodies in it from World War I and World War II, in Gaza, basically. And satellite images have shown that there's now just like some massive tank berm there. It's all been ploughed up, and there's some big earthwork is made there now, straight through the middle of it. Cheers. That's nice, that is. That's nice. Autistic girls are much less likely to be diagnosed. I don't know, I'm not. The thing is, it's one of those things. You know, what is it? Michael J. Fox has got Parkinson's. And there's that thing that Michael J. Fox cares about Parkinson's because he's got Parkinson's. It's like, if you haven't got a disease, or anyone you know got a disease, it's difficult to care particularly about it. It's like, I'm not autistic and no one in my family is. So. I know it's a big thing, I know it's important, but I'm just like. Sorry. Sorry, there you go. Okay, The Times, the venerable Times. Starmer fights for future over Mandelson scandal. Prime Minister admits he and aide were warned of ambassador's friendship to Epstein. Yeah, so the Morgan McSweeney angle, anyone doesn't know, Sir Keir Starling's closest advisor, and even he admits he's among his closest advisors, but everyone says he's like the real Eminon's Greaves. He's the mind behind the throne. He's the real power. An exaggeration, but anyway, his closest aide, Morgan McSweeney, was in the party, one of Mandelson's proteges. And apparently it seems that it was Morgan McSweeney, which this is yet to come out for sure, but people say it was Morgan McSweeney in Keir Starmer's ear. Give it to Mandy. And if, for whatever reason, McSweeney is sort of forced to resign, either forced to resign or Starmer feels so much pressure he has to fire him, that's pulling out one of the legs of Starmer's stool. And that would really, really undermine him and weaken him even further. There's loads of people that gun for the government, you know, from the Tories to the print media, trying to take him down one way or another. All the opposition forces. They would love to get rid of McSweeney because it would just really, really weaken Starmer, basically. Okay, the Eye paper, same stuff. It's across the board. Starmer is isolated. Labour MPs losing confidence in their Prime Minister. Yeah, so, see, I think that's quite right. They're losing confidence. It's not that they've lost confidence. There's a difference, isn't there? If it was said they've lost confidence and a vote of no confidence is in the offing imminently, that's a bit different to we're just in the process of losing confidence. Okay. PM's authority damaged, government sources fear. Yeah. Keir Starmer on ropes over his handling of Mandelson scandal with leadership rivals circling. They're circling. There's blood in the water. Like a school of hammerheads circling a wounded baby orca. Labour MPs are fury, takes government by surprise. Maybe Starmer didn't really see this coming exactly. They are openly questioning the MP's judgment and asking how long he can now continue in office. Yeah, it was a Labour MP, backbencher, but important one on the TV last night, like ITV or something, a news show. And they said, do you want Starmer to go, or would you table a vote of no confidence or anything like that? And he did like the classic politician thing of basically saying yes, but without saying yes. Just a few sentences that suggest yes, but without saying yes. And then when it was put to him completely and utterly plainly, so that's a yes then, is it? He just sat there very, very deliberately. Very, very deliberately just sat there in silence. Gives you the idea of it, doesn't it? Even his allies acknowledge he's facing sharp mood shift. That's one way of putting it, I suppose. Government caves into rebels led by ex-deputy PM Angela Rayner. Do you think she's ambitious? Who wins scrutiny of Number 10 files. Like, if there's a few people going to take over from Starmer, if he did get ousted, what would it be? Like, possibly David Lammy, but much more likely to be Wes Streeting, Angela Rayner, Yvette Cooper, Mrs. Ed Balls. They're sort of the big ones, aren't they? They're the biggest fish. They're the biggest sort of name recognised people, I suppose. So probably one of those. And so Angela Rayner, maybe. Disgraced Angela Rayner. Disgusting grandmother, Angela Rayner. Ugh. Would I want her to be the leader of my government? I don't think so. I wouldn't want any of them. Out of all of those, maybe we should do another poll. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. Who would you want out of, like, those four? None of them are good options, are they? Maybe Yvette Cooper. Are those words even coming out of my mouth? Is she the best of them? Or the least bad, put it that way? Yvette Cooper. You couldn't have David Lammy. That would be a humiliation. That would be a humiliation ritual, wouldn't it? You cannot have David Lammy. That would be an absurdity. Angela Rayner, not much Well, not much better, really. Not much better. So what? Okay, so what? Wes Streeting and Yvette Cooper. Is that what we're looking at? I guess I go with Yvette Cooper if it's a binary choice. Gun to your head, it's either Yvette Cooper or Wes Streeting. Ugh. Go on then, Yvette Cooper then. Ugh, go on then. Okay, let's move on. The Sun, still talking about Beckham, Brooklyn Beckham, for some reason. Same thing, is revolting. Staff striker and his new home. Yeah, that's a bit of a story that, pardon me, where they've moved him into Sandringham, basically, where he's out of the public eye. Even, like, long-range telephoto lenses can't get him there. I imagine that's why they made a decision to move him out of that lodge and put him actually in Sandringham, is that it's a really big estate, gated, fenced estate. And so he can go round and ride his horse and go for long walks without the paparazzi taking a picture of him every single day. To just keep him completely out of sight. Well, apparently, some of the staff there sort of refused to wait on him. That's ballsy. Good on you if you're one of those servants at Sandringham. Well done. So they'll probably just fire you, probably. I don't know, but... interesting. Funny. Labour MPs force PM Mandy U-turn. All right. The Daily Star. Yeah, they met. No sweat. So this is a bit of a story. It says, Pizza Express alibi? So just to recap, in case anyone's living under a rock or you don't know, but it is a story. That there's this image of Prince Andrew, as was, HRH, with his arm round, 18-year-old, what was she, 17, 18, 19? Very, very much younger, Virginia Guffrey, the late Virginia Guffrey there, with Ghislaine Maxwell, convicted human trafficker, Ghislaine Maxwell there. And Andrew had said that he has no recollection of ever meeting her, he's pretty sure he'd never met her. That day that photo was taken, he was at a Pizza Express. Was it in Woking? It was somewhere weird. He was at a Pizza Express somewhere. And that this photo is probably fake. That hand has been shopped in. Someone photoshopped that hand in later. That's not his hand. He's never met her. No one believed that. He's a bad liar. He's not a very good actor. It was obvious nonsense. Anyway, that's his story and remains his story to this day. Ghislaine Maxwell, the emails have come out in that DOJ dump where she says, back in like 2015, still a few years after this was taken, but back in 2015, Ghislaine Maxwell seems to suggest that photo is definitely real. It is real. Well, it just is real, isn't it? The idea that hand is photoshopped and he's never met her. Come on. And one of the other things he said was that he doesn't sweat. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor does not sweat. From his time in the Falklands, he did fly helicopters in the Falklands. The Falklands War, that is. He said after that experience, he doesn't sweat. He's just too cool under pressure now. Because part of the evidence was that she said later that evening, after like a few hours after that was taken, they went out to some club dancing. And Andrew was really, really sweaty. He was like, well, none of it can be true because I don't sweat. Just complete nonsense, isn't it? And there's Kelly Brook there. Very buxom, isn't she? The Financial Times, the FT. Satellite signals intercepted by Kremlin craft, spy officials say. This is that there's signals intelligence espionage going on in space. That the Russians have got a couple of different sort of spy satellites, basically, intercepting European satellites or spy satellites. Okay, kind of interesting, but I mean, what could a normal person like you or I do about any of that? Okay, what's this? Reform councillor quits role after lack of cuts weaken Farage claims on waste. Don't really care. The Daily Express, oh, it's a good paper. What have we got here? Oh, cancer thing. Thank you for backing cancer care call. So I'll just quickly talk, very, very quickly talk about that. The Daily Express themselves had a campaign all about better care for cancer sufferers. And that they've got there's been some movement on that, and that the government are saying they're going to do personalised health plans and help people with the psychological fallout of it. So good. No downside to that, is there really? No downside. So, well done. You know, I do think the Express is a bit of a joke, but it's not that bad. Sometimes they do have based stories. And you can't knock them for that, can you? Helping out cancer people. All right, the Mirror, the Daily Mirror. Oh, Snooker loses a legend. John Virgo there. John Trickshot Virgo. Everyone loves John Virgo. Harry, do you know John Virgo?
I'm not much of a snooker man.
Okay. Big break probably went off air before you were born. Probably actually did, without exaggeration. Anyway, for anyone who's American or from anywhere in the world, might not know, this chap here, John Trickshot Virgo, was a snooker player. And also, afterwards retired, he did the commentary on the snooker. I love a bit of snooker, me. I quite like to watch snooker, but I love to play snooker. I am crap instantly. Like, my biggest break ever is like about 20. And even that's only happened half a dozen times. I'm not very good, but I do like it. If you're out there and you play pool and you think you're good at pool, try playing snooker and you realise you're not that good. Anyway. National treasure John Trickshot Virgo has died. It says he died suddenly at the age of 79. Now, that can mean one of two things. One, he just had a heart attack, you know. Or it's suicide. Because sometimes to die suddenly is newspaper speak for a suicide. It's not clear one way or the other. It just says a couple of times that he died suddenly. Either way, sad to lose him. It may well just be like a heart attack thing. It's very deliberately not saying what actually happened. Doesn't really matter what happened. We lost John Virgo. Really charismatic, lovely guy. You know, there's some people in public life, you can't hate them. There's nothing to dislike about them. He was one of those. Well, I thought so anyway. All right, that's the papers. Before we move on to the websites, let's have a look at our poll. Harry, engage. Right, we said, what was the actual wording? Pardon me. Is this the beginning of the end for Starmer? Okay, kind of split. Well, actually not. Okay, so 61% of you said yes, this is the beginning of the end for Starmer. 24% of you, that's a decent chunk, isn't it, though, said not sure, or maybe. And only 15% of you say no. Okay, yeah, I would agree with that. I pretty much agree with that. That sort of mirrors my feeling a bit. I mean, I might even go a little higher than 61% if the wording is this the beginning of the end? Yeah, my feeling is somewhere between 60, 70, maybe even up to 80%. It is the beginning of the end. Yeah. So, okay, good. Interesting. Only 15% of you say no. All right. Okay, let's have a look then at the websites themselves. We'll move up. We'll skate over any more Starmer, Mandy, Andrew stuff, basically. Because we've done that now. Okay, here's another big story of the day. The US and China. Trump and Winnie the Pooh had a telephone call. Trump got on the old blower to Winnie the Pooh. And apparently it was quite a long call. And they talked about all sorts of stuff. They haven't spoken since, like October or November or something. The biggest thing, the main thing is Taiwan, because America not that long ago agreed a package of sending all sorts of military stuff to Taiwan. Artillery pieces and proper war materiel Of course, Beijing doesn't like the looks of that, does it? So they talked about that, and but there was no sort of saber rattling. There was no threats or anything. Xi was saying, "Look, we must be able to. We've both got concerns about Taiwan, right? We can come to an agreement. We can figure it out. We can keep walking this tightrope that we've been walking since the 50s. We can just keep doing that, basically." And Trump's like, "All right." Yeah, basically in a nutshell, that was what it is. Obviously, I'm simplifying it all. But they talked about loads of other stuff like Ukraine and Iran. Apparently, China's got no intention of intervening on behalf of Iran. Occasionally, that gets said. America can't attack Iran because what would China and Israel do? Sod all, that's what they're going to do. Sod all. Definitely China. China's not interested in having aerial dogfights with US fast jets over the skies of Persia. Come on. And actually, we'll see later when we get to the Russian one, they've said something similar. The Russian ambassador to the UN has said that Russia's got no intention of sending war material to the Persian theatre. Okay. What else have we got? We had. There's a. Okay, let's move on to ITV. Was there anything particular? That's a horrible story about an individual murder. We're not too interested in those. Camilla Parker Bowles isn't answering any questions about Andrew. Important stuff. In Sky News, there was one story I thought here was interesting. Oh no, it's the same thing about America and China. Or this story here. Anyone can be attacked at any moment, especially at night in Britain. Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. And the story, the angle of it is it's young people. Young people might get stabbed at any moment at night. It's not just young people, though, is it? It's anyone, anywhere. Could be out walking your dog. Wayne Broadhurst. You could be out walking your dog and some Afghan stabs you to death. You could be just sitting on the train. Some schizophrenic Afro-Caribbean person stabs you to death. I mean, it's like, yeah, that's multicultural, multi-ethnic Britain. Thanks for that, Blair. Really rubbed our nose in it, Blair. Well done. Yeah, our noses are thoroughly rubbed in it. Well done. Oh, here's a story. This is one. Devastating mass layoffs hit Washington Post. Oh, poor Washington Post. Do you know what this is, Washington Post? It's a tiny violin playing just for you. Washington Post. In fact, let's cut over to the Washington Post real quick. No mention of it. No mention of it. Gloating that Gavin Newsom has reworked borders. Congressional maps so that the Dems lock in California even stronger than they've already got it. Moaning about ICE. Moaning about ICE. All sorts of things. Look, great journalism about figure skating. The physics of doing a twirl when you figure skate. It's a bit colder, so iguanas are dying. The Muppets. The Muppet Show refuses to modernise in its triumphant revival. What do you mean? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? So, let's read what Sky News says about the devastating layoffs at the Washington Post that the Washington Post are just not themselves reporting on. Because the BBC do that, or quite a lot of news organs do that. If they themselves are in the news, they report on it. And although that's weird. In a certain way, it's like referring to yourself in the third person or something. At least it's actually like a bit transparent. At least it's sort of being honest. It's sort of fessing up to what's going on. Whereas the Washington Post is just in denial. Let's read a quick bit about it. Layoffs see the sports section, several foreign bureaus and newspaper books coverage all scrapped as the executive editor tells staff it can't be everything to everyone. Anyway, the piece goes on. It's owned by Bezos, by the way. It's owned by Amazon since 2013. Yeah, they've laid off a third of its staff. A third. Ouch. The Washington Post is making a third of its staff redundant. And, all their sports coverage and various foreign correspondents, as it said at the top. And, it's a venerable paper. It is, like, 145-year-old newspaper. Gutted. It's funny. The Washington Post. Significantly, our daily story output, this is from like a super, super, super senior person at the Post. Significantly, our daily story output has substantially fallen in the last 5 years. And even as we produce much excellent work, we too often write from one perspective for one slice of the audience. Yeah, and yeah, you do. I was about to use the S word here. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, no kidding you do that. We're one of them really biased. Really, really biased, globalist, anti-Western slop is the Post. Well, you lost the... you're dying now. Now you're dying because of it. Anyway, other people there that got fired and stuff saying, I don't understand the logic to it, don't you? Or don't you understand? What bit that you've become a leftist, globalist propaganda organ against the wishes of your own readership, largely? What bit of that don't you understand? All right, anyway. Washington Post, in trouble. Good. The Daily Mail. Even to the end, pig-headed Andrew just didn't get it. What really happened behind the scenes is a masterclass in how not to play a public scandal. Yeah. Oh, so there you go, what I said earlier about the error I got. Look, that's the lodge. That's the so-called lodge. And that's Sandringham. So, okay. And Sandringham is set within a giant bit of land. And Andrew can be kept entirely out of the public eye. Because, look, people kept... When he'd ride his horse around the lodge, paparazzi with one of those telephoto lenses, they can get a picture of him most days. Capture him at the exact moment when he smiles or something. Andrew unrepentant. Or whatever. Pig-headed to the end. Yeah. All right. Summer's rain enters its death throes. Enters its death throes. Okay. Was there anything else? Oh, yeah. Brooklyn Beckham's had his dad tattoo removed. Or part of it. That would be sad if you were Beckham. David Beckham, I mean. It'll be sad, isn't it? To completely fall out with your son. Something about Millie McIntosh. Don't care. Don't barely know who. I don't know. What was she famous for? I don't. Who cares? Who cares? The Express. Something about Andrew. Did we have something else? Oh, yeah. Who's likely to replace Starmer if he were ousted? Don't give us Ed Miliband, please. He had a shot, right? Remember when he stabbed David Miliband, his own brother, in the back for the Labour leadership? And he had a shot. He had a full-blown run at being Prime Minister and failed. Was it one of the ones against Cameron? So he's such a freak, Ed Miliband. Like, at a glance, a freakazoid. Real weirdo. Okay. The Sun. The slop that is the Sun, just a few seconds then. Oh, look, they lead with Brooklyn Beckham's dad tattoo. Ink, it's all over. Andrew and the Lodge. Emily Atax lost a little bit of weight. A car crash. Gary Neville, influence stand outside Gary Neville's house to take pictures. How to get cheap holidays. That's the Sun. That's the Sun for you. All right, the Slimes. Let's have a quick look at the New York Slimes. Trump says his unpredictable style gives him leverage, but it has a cost. I mean, yeah, it's not a bad tactic at all. If you're one of the most powerful men in the world, or if you're just like the leader of a gang, if you're the leader of a cartel, you want all your enemies and opponents to think you're a bit of a madman. You might do anything at any moment. That's not a terrible tactic at all. It's not bad. It's pretty much the right thing to do. Like, if they think you're just a weak, soft touch, you'll never do anything ever, like Joe Biden, they will walk all over you then, won't they? There's nothing wrong, in my opinion, from the point of view of the best interests of the United States, for other world leaders to think of Trump as unpredictable. People say that as it's like the worst thing ever. No, that's necessary. That's actually necessary, I would say. And he's not even that unpredictable, is he? Not really. He's not actually a loose cannon. Right? He's not actually all over the place. He's not actually like Ronald Reagan slurring his words, not making sense. It's not that, is it? All right, anyway. I don't want to stand too hard for Trump. He's gone down in my estimation since the Epstein stuff. Even if they are just allegations, it's... I don't know. I'll take Trump on the case-by-case basis. When he does good stuff, I'll say so. And when he does stuff I don't like or disagree with, I'll say so. Leave it at that, I guess. Washington Post, we had a quick look at the Washington Post, didn't we? It was in denial. Okay, Sky News Australia. How good? Oh, this isn't good. This poor little kid has gone missing or was murdered. Looks like they've got a suspect. Just an individual case of something horrible. There's not much in the Australian news today, I didn't think. I had a quick look earlier and wasn't anything jumping at me. The Japanese news, same as a bit the same as always. Pretty sloppy, but sometimes interesting. Or that they've said that this person's going to be the new voice of a voice actor. Okay. Yeah, there wasn't much of real interest in the Japanese news today. Or Sony announces their profits of 1.1 trillion yen. Not 1.1 trillion dollars or anything. But still, Sony. Okay, let's go over to Xinhua. Xi says Laos's top leader announced launch of Friendship Year. A Friendship Year, that's sort of feels like a throwback to sort of the old Maoist slogans, doesn't it? It's Friendship Year. And there's another one that reminded me, another headline that reminded me of a pretty Maoist slogan. Yeah, Xi says, ready to work with Trump to steer giant ship of China-US ties steadily forward. The giant ship of China-US ties. Going to steer it forward. It's very slogan-y to me. China's internet user base hits 1.125 billion. Mainland urges Taiwan authorities to remove cross-strait air transport restrictions. China's gold output increases. Everything's brilliant in China. Everything China do and say is brilliant. You get it? China's gold output increases. Investment demand surges in 2025. Bullet train maintenance worker safeguards spring festival travel rush. I wonder if we'll ever see something on Xinhua that is criticising the government or highlighting any sort of failure or any even just the hint of a misgiving about anything the state does, government or state does. I wonder if we'll ever see that. I've not seen hide nor hair of that so far. 4.5 weeks in. Oh, just to say, it's Breakfast with Bo's birthday today. 1 month birthday today. Harry, we're gonna celebrate this.
Woo!
We'll have to get a cake. If I'd known, I would have baked a cake. Someone mentioned it on Twitter yesterday, and or the poet of the Jolly Heretic, a shout out to you, buddy, mentioned it to me. It hadn't crossed my mind, I hadn't thought about it once. But yeah, it's our 1 month birthday. So, to the glorious band, the chosen few, thank you. Thank you. The show didn't just completely die after a few days. So, appreciate it. You are what makes it happen. Okay, on with the news. Germany. Oh, there was real nothing in Germany today. I mean, really sort of nothing. Oh, actually, as I say that, there's a story I wanted to get to in one of the other newspapers, but I skipped over it, missed it. But Sizz Bild has put it on there. Let's say it here. Remember the guy that tried to... Oh, I was about to say allegedly. It's not allegedly now. It's fact now. This guy who tried to shoot Trump before the election on the golf course. This fella, yeah, he was found guilty and now he's been convicted. It was actually a sentencing the other day, yesterday, I guess. Yeah, and he was sentenced to life. Yeah, so that's the story. It seems like he is, I don't want to just dismiss it, it's just, he's a nutbag, he's just insane. But it seems like from the details I read, he is a bit insane. So for example, he defended himself. That's crazy, but not just, I mean, that's not necessarily crazy to do that, but it's just a really bad decision. But then in court at one point, he tried stabbing himself in the neck with a pen. And other points, he would just go off on speeches or rants about all different things, about the war in Ukraine or something. Yeah, so it seems he's like a bit properly unstable. Well, I mean, it's the type, if you suffer from Trump derangement syndrome, you probably are unstable. You probably have lost perspective on some level. Probably. But this guy seems to be, yeah, quite unhinged. He never actually even had a line of sight, it says in the details in the case. He never actually got a line of sight with his rifle on the Donald. But he was just sitting in bushes with a high-powered rifle when he was caught. And loads of other evidence. You know, it's definitely that he was there to try and kill him. So there you go. There you have it. All right, that was the only story of any real note in Germany. Look, it's still frosty in Berlin. Yeah, good. All right, the French. Le Monde. 2026 Winter Olympics. Artificial snow takes a toll on the environment. Important stuff, is it? That's really important. I thought they had another story about the Fed. Okay. Had another interesting story about the Fed. Let's have a look at... was there any space news? House Committee advances NASA authorization bill. The House Science Committee unanimously approved a NASA authorization bill on February 4th after adopting dozens of amendments. Good, so the United States government isn't going to completely let NASA utterly wither on the vine. Okay, yeah, there wasn't massive space news today. Oh, well, on this day in history then, we are getting towards the top of the hour. All right, let's do on this day in history. I enjoy that. On the 5th of February, what happened on the 5th of February? Down through the centuries. Okay, in 1576, Henry of Navarre, who later became Henry IV of France, abjures Catholicism at Tours. So renounces it, disavows it. Interesting, Henry IV of France, very, very pivotal French king. You know, it's in obviously in the 16th century there, he's sort of, there's not that many parallels, but something a bit like Henry VIII or Elizabeth I, only in the sense that it's just a pivotal time. Really important king. If you're interested in French history, Henry IV is an important one. All sorts of wars of religion. You know, it's in the generation after Luther and Calvin at that point, later in the 16th century. So there's all sorts of wars of religion, particularly in France. There's sort of the massacre, St. Bartholomew's Day's massacre, where Henry himself narrowly avoided getting killed in that. I've got a bit of content on epochs. We've got the thing, Harry, on the Bodades epochs on the website, lotuseaters.com. Go to lotuseaters.com. For as little as £5 a month, you can become a member. And behind that paywall, there's hundreds of hours of me talking about history. And I've got a bit on Catherine de' Medici. Catherine de' Medici became a queen of France, and there's a St. Boniface. Anyway, there was wars of religion in France between the Catholics and the Protestants, and Henry IV is massively wrapped up in that. They tried to assassinate him like a dozen times. He survived like a dozen assassinations, but then in the end was killed by a Catholic. He tried to walk the line. He tried to be all things to all people. Well, not really. I mean, he was born a Catholic, but was raised a Huguenot, a Protestant. And then when he became king, he tried to walk the line a bit But as you can see there, in on this day in 1576, he sort of disavows Catholicism. So the Catholics are not going to like that, obviously. I mean, France goes on to be still Catholic, basically, essentially. I mean, in centuries after that, the monarchs would style themselves the most Catholic king, for example. Anyway, Henry IV got himself assassinated. Massive turning point in French history. All right. Bit of Henry IV. Very, very interesting life. I think Will Durant has got a good bit on Henry IV, if you're interested. Okay, on this day in 1597, a group of early Japanese Christians, known as the 26 Martyrs, are killed by the new government of Japan for being seen as a threat to Japanese society. Yeah. Yeah, Japan in the very late 16th century, turn of the 17th century. Don't do things that the state or your shogun or the emperor doesn't like, because... Yeah. I mean, it's brave of those Christians to openly say that they're Christians, because they could have expected to be martyred for that. Still very, very, very insular Japan at that point. Okay, in 1885, King Leopold of Belgium establishes the Congo as his personal colonial possession. Shouldn't laugh, really. It's a terrible tragedy of a thing. But where people, you know, leftists and globalists and all that, moan about colonialism, the reality is that some colonialism was certainly a benefit for the people being colonised. Certainly. Dragged them out of illiteracy and backwardness. Sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it really was a pretty evil, murderous oppression. Sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't. We talk about all European colonialism from like the 14th century up to the 20th century. Some was good, some was bad, all right? Okay, King Leopold of Belgium's regime in the Congo, if accounts to be believed, some say it's all exaggerated, but mostly the accounts say it was really bad. Really, really oppressed them. One way or another, it is a bit of a mickey take, isn't it, to say that the whole Congo is now his personal possession. It doesn't belong to the state of Belgium. It belongs to him, Leopold. Like it's his home, like it's his back garden. He owns it, personally. All right, Leopold. On this day in 1885, news of the fall of Khartoum reaches London. Yeah, that's interesting. The British reconquest of the Sudan. There's a great book by one Sir Winston Churchill called The River War. I believe you can get it on YouTube just as an audiobook, unabridged. Brilliant. Very, very, very interesting. So the Sudan below Egypt, Britain sort of controlled Egypt, not exactly, well, yeah, we controlled Egypt, not formally, but the British military kept order in Egypt for the Egyptians. And the Sudan, there was all sorts of trouble in the Sudan. There was a Mahdi down there, an Islamic religious leader who considered himself the Mahdi. And the Egyptians asked us, the British, to quell that, to put that down, to do a reconquest of the Sudan. Gordon of Khartoum, on epochs. Sorry? On epochs of the Lotus Eaters, I've got a thing all about Gordon of Khartoum. We sent Gordon of Khartoum down there. He got murdered by them. Killed and murdered by them. So we sent a whole proper... We did it. It was like, okay, Egypt. For years, we were like, we don't want to get involved. We've got no interest in the Sudan. We don't want to get involved in it. It's your problem. Like, this is just obviously going to be a mire. It's going to be like a Vietnam. We obviously didn't say it at the time, but it's like a 19th century Vietnam for us. We don't want to... And anyway, in the one event after another over years just slowly pulled us into it. In the end, we sent an expeditionary force out there. Winston Churchill himself was a young man, served in the Lancers. Cavalryman was involved in it. Churchill actually killed a few people himself personally. Very proud of that, in fact. Later in life. Eventually, we got all the way to Khartoum, the capital, the Mahdi's capital, and took it. It was our guys with like Vickers machine guns, water cooled machine guns versus their horsemen with spears and bows and arrows. We had like gunboats and giant spotlights, artillery pieces. They had like bows and arrows, sort of thing. The odd musket. So he smashed them up and took it really easily. Really, 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 really easy. It was a walk in the park, ultimately, in terms of like dominating the battlefield. Okay, so news of the fall of Khartoum reaches London on this day in 1885. There you go. Okay, in 1945, in World War II, US troops under General Douglas MacArthur enter Manila in the Philippines after a month-long battle ending 3 years of Japanese military occupation. Yeah, I'll be back. MacArthur, he said, I will return. Because the US had been in the Philippines since the 19th century, since the Spanish foreign possessions collapsed. But then the Japanese booted the Americans out at the beginning of the Pacific War in World War II. MacArthur promised the Filipinos, I'll be back, don't worry, I'll come and save you. Fast forward a few years later, he only bloody did. There you go. And on to Tokyo. All right, there you go. In 1969, on this day, United States population reaches 200 million. It's much, much more than that now, isn't it? It's funny how those charts just go. Okay, it was less than 200 million in the 60s. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting to know. Okay, we've just gone past nine, so let's have a look at the Rumble Rants or the YouTube Super Chats. What have we got? Harry, there you go. All right. So, YouTube says, Justin Green 8572 says, new immigration policy, you must consume 1 pound of bacon. Yeah. You can come in, come and be one of us. Here's your passport, but just eat this whole gammon steak for us real quick. No? No? Wash it down with a whiskey? No? All right. So Jukes 149 says, considering how unpopular Labour is now, can Starmer keep the party in line by threatening to call an election if he's challenged? I highly doubt that. Let me read that again. Considering how unpopular Labour is now, can Starmer keep the party in line? Yeah, no, I mean, that's not really a thing. That's not really a tactic. I can see your thinking. I can see the logic there, but they don't. There's no real precedent for. Well. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I can see what you're thinking, but I don't think so, though. But okay. Dragon Lady says, according to various news sources, Mr. Virgo died of a ruptured aorta. So it was just a heart attack. A massive heart attack. I hope it was quick. I know that's a little bit of a brutal thing to say, but, you know. Hope it was one of them ones where you're just like, it's like, it is instant. You're dead before you hit the ground. Or happened in your sleep. Is that not the best possible death, to have an instantaneous massive heart attack in your sleep? Could you ask for a better, what better way is there to go out than that? I hope something like that happened to John Trickshot Virgo. All right, the Fenlander 1665 says, what a brilliant month it has been. Many happy returns. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Cheers, yeah. Seems to have gone very, very quickly. Feels like just the other day we was the first show. I feel like I've settled into it really well. So thank you. Cheers. Thank you very much. All right. What else have we got? Mr. Pastry, 2010, says, if Rupert Lowe became Prime Minister, who would your super team be to join him? Alan Sugar for business and Middleton for defence. I don't like Alan Sugar. Don't like him. Don't trust him. Do I hate him? Hate is maybe a bit strong. I really don't like Alan Sugar. He's a bit of a bully. No, I don't trust Alan Sugar. I wouldn't want Alan Sugar anywhere near my government. Ant Middleton, you know. He's not bad, is he? actually don't pay that much attention to Ant Middleton, what he says and what he tweets, but I've seen bits and bobs here and there, and some I'm like, yeah, right on the money, perfect take. And other times I've seen him say one or two things, and I'm like, that's a bit wet. So I don't know. But it's a good, pardon me, it's a good question. What would be my dream team? I don't know, without just throwing names off the cuff, I'd have to think about that, but it's something I should do. People do it on Twitter, don't they? This would be my dream cabinet. Maybe I'll do that later today or tomorrow or at the weekend, spend an hour or so getting together a dozen names of people I'd want in all the top jobs. I'd have a new remigration department, an entire department for remigration. And I'd put someone absolutely ruthless in that position. My Home Secretary and my Justice Secretary would be formidable men who would not bend an inch to pressure from the media. They'd be men of conviction. I guarantee you that. Okay. Brendan Lucas 9732 says, well, leftists never talk about the bad colonialism. They never mention Belgian Congo or German East Africa, which it usually, I see what you're saying. Sorry. It usually solely blames UK for the Atlantic slave trade, despite Portugal shipping more. Yeah, it's the classic thing, isn't it? They concentrate on, like, and they never really talk about the abolitionist movement, do they? They'll never talk about that. Or the true reality of the Atlantic slave trade, of how it was black people enslaving other black people in Africa. And largely Europeans will just turn up at one or two ports and just... There's already a slave market there. A black-run and controlled slave market. Yeah, you're right. They don't often... It's weird. It's pretty weird that the leftist, anti-white, anti-Western slant on history, just completely ignoring whole swathes of it, spinning whole swathes of it. Yeah, it's gross. Good point. Good point, Brandon Lucas. And thanks for the money. All right, that's the show. We are now at 8 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Thursday, the 5th of February, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You have been the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers. Thank you for tuning in. Without you, it wouldn't be anything. Try and make the best of the day ahead. Right? Seize the day if you can. If possible. You've only got it once. It's probably later than you think. Only got this day once in your life. Try and make it count if you can. All right then. Well, until tomorrow morning. Take care.